This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Enterprise with me, Audrey Raj. The idea of reheating frozen food isn't new by any means, but those preserved meals don't exactly scream delicious either, do they? So that's where Icebox comes in. Started by three mothers with a ton of traditional family recipes between them, Icebox aims to change the perception of frozen foods. While the texture and nutritional value of these meals are retained once frozen, the value itself comes from homemade, much-loved family recipes that have been passed down through generations. So on the show today, we have Cindy Gunn, co-founder of Icebox, and Peter Fernandez, business partner. Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Audrey.
So let's just kick things off with the idea of Icebox. How did it come about? Tell us your story.
Well, it started because we found that we needed a quick and easy way to prepare meals for our children. Busy lifestyle, stay-at-home mother, those kind of things. So I freeze my food all the time because it's only me and my daughter. Mm-hmm. So it just made sense to cook a lot more and then freeze and then have it throughout the week or months.
I think many mothers do that these days, you know. Maybe cook on a Sunday and then for the rest of the week you're sorted.
Yep, exactly. Okay. So, yeah. And I thought that, you know, busy working people would benefit from that too if we were to share it with others as well.
Mm. And so how did you kickstart this business?
It actually was from, well, one of my partners, Sarah and I, we run a soup kitchen, right? So after getting to know the street clients, we call them patrons, we found out that we wanted to match them with jobs and it wasn't as easy as we thought it was. So we started the Mak Minah project, which was to sort of like help match these patrons with jobs, and even that we found that it was not easy. And so we were thinking, okay, since we like food, since we are thinking of, you know, creating a business, why not do something that we can incorporate both worlds? So we'll create jobs for the patrons as well, mm-hmm. as do something that we really like. And that's sort of how it started.
Okay, so frozen foods normally have a stigma of being very, well, meh, you know, frozen pizza, frozen noodles. Mm. What makes Icebox different?
I would say months and months and months of research and trial and error and, well, I would also say years of preparing food for our own family that we've, like, sort of found a workable solution or formula, so to speak, that food would taste as good as if it was fresh, well, if not better, yeah.
Okay, so what kind of meals do you have on the menu right now?
For the moment, we are focusing heavily on our pestos because previously, probably due to us being really new in the market, we didn't have enough volume from sales to justify us continuing with the frozen ready meals. So, pesto was easy because, you know, everyone knows what pesto is. And it's just take it out of the freezer, leave it on the counter, and then in an hour you have something ready to eat. With your pasta, with your bread, with anything almost. You know. So, that's why we're heavily focused on the pesto right now. And since the response is really good for pesto, and there's only three of us, so we thought, okay, we'll focus on this first for right now.
All right. What else other than the pesto? I'm just curious to find out what else is on the menu.
Yeah, at the moment, it's just pesto for now. We are sort of developing other Peranakan condiments, like the chili garam. We'll probably like have a twist to it, probably like add some shredded chicken in it and, you know, we're actually also experimenting on buah keluak with the gerang asam. Mm. Buah keluak is a Peranakan, like, I think it doesn't get more Peranakan than that, you know? Yeah, those kind of things. Because I'm from a Peranakan background. Yeah.
Right. So did you ever experiment with, like, fully ready-made meals?
The first batch of food that, I mean, the first batch of ready meals that we sort of launched with Icebox actually were nasi lemak, the ayam masak merah, ayam masak merah with nasi tomato. Yeah, those like local delicacies. But like I said, the volume was not there, you know, to justify us moving forward.
At that point.
Yeah.
I can imagine if you had to put nasi lemak into an ice box, there's so many different kind of condiments. It must be very challenging.
Yes, exactly. Like the egg especially, we tested that for months. The egg somehow or other would just turn rubbery after reheating. Even if we undercook it, you know, to a certain percentage, and then just after that, just to reheat it, would definitely turn the egg rubbery. So we found a way, though, that we could bury the egg in the rice. I know it sounds weird, right? But yeah, that really helped a lot because it doesn't dry out the egg when it's frozen, and when reheating, somehow the moisture from the egg just sort of like, it does retain a little bit of moisture, so it's not rubbery.
And I think part of the appeal of all the food and why everybody insisted that they started was because Cindy's Peranakan, as you know, and she cooks like a dream, you know. So I think what they tried to do was introduce very bold Peranakan style flavors into the food as far as possible. And for some of the future products like the garang asam with buah keluak, you know, they want to highlight the more sour notes and the more bold flavors, which are distinctive. And with the pestos as well, it took months and months of experimentation and changing and tweaking the recipes, which all ties in with Cindy's, you know, decades of experience of cooking ever since she was a little girl with her grandmother, which is what she's tried to impart into the food. All that experience, all that care and attention to detail which goes into it. For example, the tomato, sun-dried tomato pesto. She tried different varieties and brands of sun-dried tomato and finally settled on a mix of two kinds of sun-dried tomato in order to get the color as well as the flavor to the consistency and levels that she desired. And so if you taste it, you'll find that it's actually a more complex flavor. It's not a single note. And I think that's what we try to deliver with each of the products that we deliver.
So I understand that you use premium ingredients in all your meals. Can you just define premium for us? Where do these ingredients come from? How are they different from the ones that, you know, our other suppliers would use?
I would say like for the Parmesan cheese in our pesto, we actually get the whole wheel of the Parmesan cheese and we process it ourselves. We don't get shredded ones. We don't get the powdered ones. Mm. So those are actually a mixture of flour and other stuff to keep them not clump. I mean, to so that it wouldn't clump. But like for us, we do not believe in that because that really does affect the taste. And in the long run, what we want is to convey our message through food. So I think that's the best way to get the best product that you can afford to produce something that people can enjoy.
Mm. So after, I mean, I was checking out your Facebook page. I see that you've got a lot of good reviews and still you're a growing brand. So do you also listen to criticism and adjust your recipes depending on the kind of feedback you get?
Oh, definitely. Like for my sun-dried tomato, right? There's a friend of mine. She used to write for a food magazine. So she's very well-versed in all food, like especially when it comes to Italian or tomato-based food. So she's been giving me lots of feedback. I always use her as my guinea pig. And then she'll say, oh, you know, since it doesn't spread well, and then I'll adjust it. So, oh, too much of Parmesan, I'll adjust that. And then in the end, like, both of us agree that, okay, this is how it's supposed to taste like. Mm. Like, she even says when she give it to her boss, her boss would eat it by the spoonful instead of putting... Yeah, she's like, who needs peanut butter, you know? I was like, okay, that's really high compliment because her boss is really, really picky when it comes to food.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's the easiest way to purchase your products? Is it online or at pop-up booths? How can we find your products?
Well, we focus heavily on social media, right? So Instagram, Facebook. But yes, pop-up booths, we do that like once a month twice a month at least. And then we're also available in Ben's Independent Grocer and Makan by Red Cherry in Jaya 1. So she provides, Red Cherry provides mostly artisanal, made in Malaysia food. So,
all right, so you are in supermarkets already.
Yeah.
Well, one type of supermarket for now.
Yeah.
we've been exploring options with some others as well, and hopefully we'll be able to get more traction with that as time goes by.
All right. I'm speaking with Cindy Gunn and Peter Fernandez from Icebox Enterprise. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Ballsy football moves. BFM 89.9.
You're still listening to Enterprise with me, Audrey Raj. And on the show today, we have Cindy Gunn and Peter Fernandez from Icebox. Frozen foods with a tasty twist. So guys, tell me a bit about your team. You know, how many of you are there and who does what?
Well, for now, there's just the two of us. And of course, Cindy's daughter, she's six and she's our number one salesperson for now.
Really?
Yes. When we go for some of these food bazaars, etc., she's so enthusiastic to help out because she likes getting involved and helping and tasting things and being involved in the production as much as she can, which is not much as she's six. But, you know, when we were selling stuff at the booth, she would call out to people to try, and actually quite a few people stopped because of the fact that this cute tiny little 6-year-old was asking them to try something, and they did, and some of them actually bought stuff, which made her very happy, and we told her she's number one.
So does she get a cut? That's the question.
She's as much pesto as she likes.
Okay, what about the recipes and such?
Those are actually okay. We get, like, we have basic recipes that, you know, we've used. Like, I've made this pesto since I was a teenage, probably. Yeah. But with that basic recipe, I'll develop it. Like, especially after we started Icebox, I was thinking, okay, this recipe is not something you can sort of, you can sell, because number one is everything is agak-agak, just, you know, okay, enough of this, add more of this and stuff like that. But so with Icebox, though, you have to have a specific amount of certain every ingredient so that you can reproduce the same taste over and over again, no matter how many times you make it. So that's why I sat down and just develop recipe every time, trying until it, like, perfected it. Well, I wouldn't call it perfected, but it's where it is right now. The best that I can do for now.
And I think that's where her experience comes in, because she can imagine flavors very well and she can put things together in her mind and then try it out in the recipe and see how it works. And so far, it's worked pretty well. At this food bazaars again, there was this one lady who came up with her husband, and she tried the pestos. And at the bazaars, we generally serve them on plain crackers for testers. And her husband was sitting by, and he had this funny smile on his face as she was trying it. And she loved the pesto. She loved it so much, she wanted a jar or two. And then she looked at her husband and said, "Why are you smiling like that?" And then he laughed and he said, "You know, you're eating it on these crackers, right? And I remember you telling me that these crackers, well, you were so hungry the other day at the office, and you just opened a packet of these same crackers, and you eat it, and it said it tasted like cardboard, and you never wanted to eat it again." But because of the pesto, she didn't even realize the flavor of the crackers itself. And so it's, again, down a testament to Cindy's ability to not just create recipes, but refine them over time and make them bold and powerful flavors.
So you can even make cardboard taste good.
Yes.
That's
yes.
a selling point, yes, right can. There. All right, so how long can these meals last, even when frozen? I mean, how many times can they be reheated, refrozen? What's the rule of thumb when reheating?
Well, normally for pestos, you do not reheat because of the Parmesan cheese that we use. It'll just clump up. So what you do is you freeze. If you put it in the freezer, it can last for 3 months at least. Mm. Like mine, I mean, I'm shy to say this, but mine lasted for 6 months and I'm still eating it, you know. Mm. Yeah, but 3 months would be the ideal. Anything below 3 months, right? And then when you want to eat it, all you need to do is, like, leave it on the kitchen counter for 1 or 2 hours. It'll come to room temperature. Just scoop out what you want. And then if it's the big jar, half of it won't be scooped out, right? So what you do is you can keep that in the freezer again, and that will last probably about another 2-3 months. So, yeah, keeping it is not a problem because it doesn't have very high moisture content, so it will last.
All right, so the reheating is not a big issue, it's not a big challenge, you know, how long it can last. But what are some of the challenges that you face when trying to launch Icebox initially when coming into the business scene?
I can remember the one big challenge that we had was probably freezer storage space, because we need to store a lot of this before we send them out, right? So, yeah, freezer storage space, and we all work from home because it's all home-based. We have to start somewhere. And there just wasn't enough room. We had to each store in our own houses, in our freezers. So, yeah, that was quite a challenge because logistics was really confusing and it's everywhere. So that wasn't ideal at all.
I think another challenge actually would be consistency of taste. So Cindy mentioned, you know, how we have precise recipes nowadays. But what she does as well is each and every batch that she makes, she doesn't just go by the recipe. The recipe is a guide, but she tastes each batch to make sure that the flavor is consistent, and then she adjusts accordingly. I think that only comes with a vast amount of experience and skill. So that's how we try to maintain a very high standard of flavor across the brand and the products. So I think that is a major challenge, because at a smaller scale like we are now, it's very, very doable. But as we expand, I think it's something that we're dealing with. It's hard to taste so many batches of food and keep making it consistent, but we'll try our best.
So obviously social media plays a big part in getting Icebox out there into the world. So tell us a bit about that.
We focus heavily on Instagram right now because, like, I do the marketing side of this as well. So I can see we're gaining traction, good traction with Instagram alone. Our website is okay, but it's not as good as how Instagram, I mean, the results that Instagram would give. So I would say, yeah, social media really, really helps in business nowadays. And I would say definitely Instagram.
But why Instagram? Why do you think that Instagram is picking up so much?
It's probably visual. People are more drawn by visual and also moving, like, videos and stuff. Yeah, so I think that's why. And it's fast, you know. It's just right in your face. The first 10 seconds is enough to draw you in.
And you also said that you have pop-up booths and supermarkets and bazaars that you participate in. Do you have pop-up booths outside the Klang Valley?
Well, right now we don't, unfortunately. We've talked about it, and we do want to, because we've actually received queries about whether we can stock as far as Penang and JB. And, you know, eventually we will reach a stage where we will do that. But right now it's just very preliminary, sadly. But it's very, very encouraging to hear that people want to try it, and they have known people who have tried it. So it shows that the social media strategy is working to a large degree, and that the product is good enough that people do recommend it, which is, you know, all we can ask for.
What about plans moving forward? Maybe a small brick-and-mortar setup, a permanent spot somewhere? Is that on the cards?
Well, it's hard to say. I don't think we'll ever reach the stage where we have our own brick-and-mortar setup purely for this. Maybe in future we will start up with several other products, but I think it's a ways down the road for now. It's... Yeah, it just needs a lot more planning, and it's definitely something we have considered and will continue to consider. But as for future products, well, we mentioned earlier some of the Peranakan-style foods we want to look at. We're also looking at vegan options for pesto, so with nutritional yeast instead of cheese, etc. And also a possible vegetarian option, which, well, depending on the type and definition of vegetarian, because some are ovo-lacto-vegetarians, so they can take cheese and egg, etc. Some don't. So we're going to aim for the more strict vegetarians, possibly, and we're going to try out a few recipes and see how that goes.
You know, your business really looks ideal for vendor resale. Have you thought of selling your jars through vendors? That way, you know, the jars can be taken anywhere in Malaysia, you know?
Well, we have, and we've actually supplied a couple of small restaurants and cafes with certain varieties of pesto so far. And we're also looking into that sort of thing in the short term. In the longer term, things like, you know, Alibaba setting up their regional e-commerce hub in Malaysia are a godsend for small enterprises like us because it allows us to explore a much wider international market, hopefully, with scale and with logistics, which is always a bane for any small company. And the future looks interesting, I have to say.
All right. And just before we go, guys, tell our listeners, you know, where can they find your products? Tell them about your website.
Oh, we are in iceboxmeals.com. Instagram, of course. Instagram and Facebook, we're connected. Then we can be found in all three big supermarkets in the deli section, as well as Makan by the Red Cherry in GI1 in the chiller section.
I'd just like to clarify, Icebox is actually spelled A-I-S-B-O-X.
Yeah.
And the reason we came up with the name is because it's a word that Cindy's grandmother, who was Pranakan, used. And it's a small tribute to her, in a way, as is all the food, which is why Cindy's always under a lot of pressure to make sure the food is good. She has to honour the grandmother's memory.
There's a message to be conveyed here.
All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We wish you and Icebox all the best.
Thank you so much, Audrey.
Thank you for having us.
Right, if you missed any part of this interview, please go look up the podcast on our website, bfm.my, or on the BFM mobile app, available now on the App Store and on Google Play. Just look for Icebox, and like Peter said, it's spelt A-I-S-B-O-X. Enterprise will be right back, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.